16, verse 16, the word gospel refers to the entire book. It is a book that deals with good news. You have the gospel to sinners in Romans 1 through 5. And what a section of scripture that is. You have the gospel to saints in Romans 6 through 8, moving from justification by faith to sanctification by faith. Then you have God's system in Romans 9, 10, and 11, that everything is by grace through faith. And no one can change it. That's how God set it up. And then you take a turn in the book as you come to chapter 12, and built on all that's before, there's a turning point that applies it, and that's our text this morning. Very familiar verses, and yet verses that sometimes I think we understand maybe partially and therefore don't get the full benefit of. So let's look at this morning and ask the Lord to open our eyes. Verse 1, the apostle writes under inspiration, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. What a statement in our day. But be transformed. There's metamorphosis that we tapped into last evening. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 1, presentation. Verse 2, transformation. See, there's an exchange. I want to speak this morning on the surrender exchange. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness. I thank you. These men, the spirit here, the sense of your presence and your working. And I pray that you would quicken all of us in spirit, in soul, and in body to receive what you have for us. Now, Lord, I pray that each one would hear from you. Lord, that you would speak. That this time not be mere motions. That it not be wasted. And Lord, may your word be mixed with faith, that each one may profit from it. And so again, I plead the blood of Jesus to protect us from the attack of the enemy in every way. And again, Lord Jesus, I claim our position in you at the throne, far above all principality and power. In your name, exercise your authority over the powers of darkness that would seek to hinder, and trust you once again that that not be allowed. Breathe on. Make this time count. Show us where we are in relation to the truth of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And may we respond in faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years back, we were holding meetings in New England, and we're in the state of Maine for the month of September. Great time to be in the state of Maine. Beautiful state. I love the coastline there. And when we had a meeting that was near the coast, I took my family early in the week to beautiful, picturesque Camden Harbor. And what a beautiful place is. The mountains come down into the Atlantic Ocean there. And you have Curtis Island off in the distance, and very scenic. And you've got all the yachts and the boats and all the sailboats and all those kinds of things. And it's a tourist trap, I admit, but it's a fun one. And neat restaurants, all of that. And all the tourist attractions vying for your attention. We were walking along the dock, and, you know, there's signs, you know, for the whale watch and for the lighthouse cruise and all those kinds of things. And looking at all this, and it's pretty wealthy and pretty expensive and so on. And then I saw a little building, and it had a piece of cardboard in the window where somebody had just handwritten on brown cardboard with a black magic marker, boat rental, $10. Now, that caught my attention. And my son was 6 or 7 at the time. And I said, hey, John, on Thursday, we'll come back here, and I'm going to take you on a boat ride, and we'll go out to Curtis Island and see the lighthouse there. We were seeing some of the lighthouses. So I promised him on Thursday, we're going to do that boat ride. So on Thursday, we came back. The sign was gone. No one was in that little building, and I'm thinking, now what am I going to do? All the other signs are way more than $10. And I thought, you promised your son, you got to come through. And then this guy comes walking up to that little building, and I said, hey, The other day, there was a sign there that said, boat rental, $10. He acted like he had no idea what I was talking about. He said, but, he said, I'll rent you a dinghy for $10 an hour. Now, I'm a Chicago boy, though I've based out of Michigan since 98. I grew up in Chicago. I'm a city boy. I didn't know what a dinghy was. But it didn't sound good to me. You know, onomatopoeia. This word dinghy didn't sound good to me. And I'm trying to figure out what it was. Because, you know, earlier that week, I forgot to tell you this part of the story. This is key to it. At any rate, I must be getting old. Remember that the body declining thing. But when we were there earlier, I had looked down to try to figure out which boat went with that sign. And the smallest boats I saw were these nifty-looking little ones that had nice engines on the back. That's what I figured it was. So that's what I was promising in my mind, that I was going to take my son John out to Curtis Island. Well, he of course, didn't refer to those boats. I asked about those boats. He said, oh, those aren't for rent. Those are owned by the yacht owners. That's how they get to their yacht. And so he said, I'll rent you the dinghy. So I'm thinking, well, what's a dinghy? He said, well, it's a little rowboat. So I said, well, how long would it take me to row to Curtis Island? He looked up, about 20 minutes. I thought, well, that sounds reasonable. You know, this will work. And so I said, okay. And I gave him the $10, and he gave us some life vests, and we walked down, and he showed me the dinghy. And, oh, man, it looked dinghy, I'll tell you that. It was very small. It was old, very old. It was wooden. It was rotten wood. The paint was chipping, falling off. It looked like a disaster in the midst of all the beautiful wealth that was there. And I thought, oh my, I don't know about this, but we tried to maintain our dignity. And we stepped out in that dinghy. Now, I don't know anything about rowing, but you know, there's two little benches. So John Jr. is on one. He's 6 or 7 at the time. I'm on the other one. I did figure out that, you know, you got the oars, and that if I faced opposite the direction we'd go, I'd have a better leverage. So I did figure that out. So we pushed away, and we began our journey. Now, when I began to row, there was a little metal ring there in the edge of the wood boat, you know, so you've got the leverage for the oar. Well, the wood was rotten. So that little ring would just pop out, which meant I had no leverage. And that would get us off course, and then I'd take the oar on the other side and overreact. And I found that when you row too much on one side, you go in circles. And we were fast becoming the entertainment for anybody that cared to be watching. So, you know, the yachts would go by and nearly capsize us. And then, you know, I thought, oh, this is a disaster. I'm using all my energy. I got to preach tonight. And we're zigzagging through this parking lot of sailboats, trying to make the straightest course as possible to get to Curtis Island. And so John Jr.'s navigating because I'm facing the opposite direction. No, Daddy, this way. No, this way. And 45 minutes later, we arrived at Curtis Island. I called the guy and said, I'm not going to make it back in an hour. He said, oh, don't worry about it. So we enjoyed ourselves. And then another 45 minutes, and we finally made our way back. Now, I learned that day that when you overuse one oar, you go in circles. And you have to have a balanced use of both oars to cut a straight line. Pretty simple. You know, I believe for many in their Christian experience, they grab a hold of a truth, and it's a real truth. But it's not balanced. And so it's like one oar. And in the experience of some, they find themselves going in circles. Maybe that's where you find yourself. And something's missing. Something's not balanced here. And there's a need to get both oars of truth, the two oars that balance, into the water, as it were, so that you can progress. Now, we have two oars in our two verses, as it were. Presentation, transformation. We noted that a moment ago. We'll call it something different here. In a minute, but those are the core truths underneath it. But the bottom line is, it is a surrender exchange. It's a two-oared surrender, a full surrender. And as we ponder this morning, we need to ask ourselves, have we entered into the surrender exchange? That is, do we have both oars evenly in the water? Now, what are we talking about? Well, let's begin by looking at the two main points. Let's begin by